Along with the things already expressed, I want you to know how happy I am that you've chosen to be here today, that you've arrived safely. It's good to be with you. Appreciate your sincerity and interest in studying the Lord's Word. In just a moment or two, we're going to stand and sing a song to invite you to take up your cross and follow after the Lord. As He's invited us to do in the book of Matthew chapter 16, He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me." Our appeal today is, in four words, continue following the Lord. I encourage you to get your Bible and come with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to be reminded of some words from one of the greatest people who's ever lived. His name is Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 12, and in verse 2, the setting finds this man advanced in age. He said, "I'm old and gray-headed." Here are some words from an old and gray-headed servant of God. In verse 14, he said, "If you will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers." That's 1 Samuel 12, 14 to 15. From that short reading springs our appeal, continue following the Lord. That was the plea of this old and gray-headed man. Continue following the Lord. Couched within those two verses are some things that are involved in continuing to follow the Lord. You see, it's his prayer that the people of God would not just follow the Lord while he was alive, but that they would continue that all their lives. As Samuel reasoned with them to follow the Lord, let's look at some things that are involved in that. Let me suggest to you that to continue following the Lord involves us fearing the Lord. Notice he said in verse 14, "If ye will fear the Lord." And in verse 24, he said, "Only fear the Lord." Throughout the Old Testament, on numerous occasions, Israel was exhorted, "Fear the Lord." In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verse 2, Moses said, "These are the statutes, the commandments, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God." In verse 13, he said, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God." And again in verse 24, these words, "The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day." If we are interested in our good, then we'll become interested in fearing the Lord. Fearing the Lord is that which the Lord requires. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, we have this comprehensive statement. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" Remember the answer? "Among other things, to fear the Lord thy God," Deuteronomy 10, and then verse 12. Fearing the Lord is learned by hearing the Lord's law. In Deuteronomy 17, we have teaching about the king that would be elected, and how that he would have a copy of this law in a book. "It shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life." Deuteronomy 17, 19. Why? "That he may learn to fear the Lord his God." If I don't fear the Lord, if my fear of the Lord is not what it should be, then I need to examine my reading. Is the Lord's law with me? Am I reading therein all the days of my life? One value of reading the Lord's law is it'll help us learn to fear the Lord. Also in Deuteronomy 31, verses 12 and 13, it is written, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates." Why did they have a public gathering of men, women, and children all together? That they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. Notice how that progresses. Hear, learn, fear, do. Sometimes we don't do what we ought to because we don't have fear. And we don't fear because we haven't learned, and we haven't learned because we haven't heard. One follows on the other. But it all starts with hearing. As a little side point, it's interesting that the men, women, and children are all gathered together. Some think that in order for a child to learn anything, he has to be in a place by himself. Can't learn anything in a gathering like this. Some think maybe just leave our children at home. They get older, we'll bring them. I mean, they couldn't learn anything from a gathering like this, could they? Evidently, there was value in the Lord's people being gathered and the Lord's word being read so as to be heard and learned. It's amazing what we can learn if we'll hear, if we'll listen. We can learn to fear the Lord. I like the appeal in Joshua chapter 4 and verse 24. Listen to these words. Joshua 4:24. "That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." If we're going to continue following the Lord, we're going to have to fear the Lord. And to do that, we must read and hear and learn. But a second thing that's involved, if we're going to continue following the Lord, from the words of Samuel in 1 Samuel 12 and in verse 14, we must serve Him. You see, we can't continue following the Lord and not serve Him. He said, "And serve Him." And then in verse 24, He said, "And serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you." It tells me how to serve and why to serve. With all your heart, in truth. Why? Because of the great things He's done for me. You see, if I don't continue to serve the Lord, then evidently I've lost sight or I'm not thankful. Maybe I've forgotten how great things He hath done for me. Back in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, another of Israel's great examples. In fact, it was said that the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. In Joshua 24 and verse 31. But in verse 15, I learned a decision that he had made, and he appealed to the Lord's people to make this choice. He said in Joshua 24:15, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods," little g, "which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's a good attitude, isn't it? Didn't make any difference what anybody else would do, but we're going to serve the Lord. And so serving the Lord is a choice that I must make. And I need to do that today. If I'm on the fence, if I haven't made up my mind, what I'm going to do? Choose today. Why? This is the only day we really have. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Proverbs 27, verse 1. The people said in verse 16, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for the Lord our God, He it is." And Joshua said in verse 19, "Ye cannot serve the Lord." Why would he appeal to them, "Choose you this day whom you will serve," and they say, "We'll serve the Lord," and then he say, "Ye cannot serve the Lord. For He is a holy God, He is a jealous God. He'll not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he'll turn and do you hurt and consume you. And the people were insistent. Verse 21, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said, you're witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. You see, they couldn't serve the Lord in their sins. They couldn't hold on to their strange gods and continue following the Lord. And sometimes there are things we want to hold on to. There's some objects of our affection or devotion that have our allegiance in place of God. And we think that we are serving the Lord, that we're following the Lord. And we need a Joshua to come along and remind us, you cannot serve the Lord in that way. You cannot serve the Lord in that condition. That there are some things that have to be put away. And the people said, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Verse 24, and Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. An agreement was entered in to serve the Lord in Joshua 24. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and in verse 13, I learned that when it comes to serving the Lord, that it must be done with all of my heart and with all of my soul. It is said, it shall come to pass if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Joshua said, serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Joshua 24 and verse 14. David appealed to his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28 and in verse 9 to serve the Lord with a perfect heart and a willing mind. When you go to the good reign of young Josiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, he came on the scene when there was idolatry rampant among the people of the Lord. And through his influence, idolatry was destroyed. While he was yet young, he began to seek the God of his father. In the 12th year, he'd have been about 20 years old. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. And the images that were on high above them, he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images, he brake in pieces and made dust of them, and strode upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priest upon their altars. That was in fulfillment of prophecy that was stated many years before when the divided kingdom just ushered in 1 Kings chapter 13. And notice, in connection with his removal of idolatry from the presence of Israel, that in verse 30, the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Samuel would say, continue following the Lord. And he, in that context, talked about serving the Lord. Why could it be said that all his days they departed not from following the Lord? Because they were made to serve the Lord their God. If I could learn what it means to serve the Lord, I'll know what it means to continue following the Lord. Sometimes we think that we're following the Lord, we're continuing to follow the Lord, but we're not serving the Lord all of our days. The appeal of the psalmist in several places was an appeal to serve the Lord. For example, in Psalm 2 and in verse 11, he says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." In Psalm 100 and verse 2, notice his appeal in these words, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." And so if I'm going to continue following the Lord, I must fear the Lord and I must serve the Lord. But in the third place, from 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14, to continue following the Lord involves obeying his voice. Samuel said, "And obey his voice." I'm not continuing to follow the Lord if I'm not continuing to obey his voice. In Exodus chapter 5, when Moses was sent to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt with the plea to Pharaoh, "Let my people go," Exodus 5 and 1, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Exodus 5 and verse 2. And so his mistake was not knowing the Lord. But as you read on from that point, you'll find that he came to realize just who the Lord is and why the Lord's voice should be obeyed. In Exodus chapter 19, in the giving of the law of Moses, notice it is said, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Those blessings of being a peculiar treasure, a kingdom of priests and holy nation, rested upon their obeying his voice. Blessings and curses always accompanied obedience and disobedience. In Deuteronomy 11, 27 and 28. Moses said, "I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known." And so there is set before us as well a blessing and a curse. A blessing if we obey, and a curse if we will not obey. In Deuteronomy 13 and verse 4, it is said, "Keep his commandments and obey his voice." I expect that King Saul learned the hard way the importance of obeying his voice. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, when the Lord instructed him, "Go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, camel, and ass." 1 Samuel 15 and verse 3. According to verse 9, Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fatlings, of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. When Samuel returns, Saul said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Verse 13. And so at that time, if you'd ask Saul, "Have you obeyed his voice? Have you obeyed the voice of the Lord?" He'd say, "Yes, yes, I have obeyed his voice." But Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" You see, the Lord said, "Destroy all, spare none." And a sheep and an ox that has been slain and destroyed does not make any noise, does it? And so their bleating and their lowing was evidence that he had not obeyed his voice. And Saul began to try to shift the blame from himself to the people. He said, "They have brought the people spared." Verse 15. Instead of stepping up to the plate, if you will, and accepting personal responsibility, he tried to shift the situation to somebody else. He said, "The people took," verse 21, And they had good intentions. It was to sacrifice unto the Lord. And who could be opposed to that? What could be wrong with sacrificing unto the Lord? You see, good intentions don't justify wrong actions, do they? Samuel said, and here's this classic statement, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And he was rejected from being king because he had rejected the word of the Lord. Verse 23. And then Saul says, "I have sinned." Verse 24. What do you learn from that? That partial obedience is no obedience at all. That just as you might have asked Saul, "Did you obey the voice of the Lord?" He'd said, "Yes, yes, I did." That sometimes we might think that we are following the Lord and that we're obeying His voice when we're just doing some of what the Lord says. You see, obedience to the Lord involves doing all that He says. It's not just taking some of it. Oh, we might want to use it as a smorgasbord. Take a little of this and a little of that, and no, I don't want that. I don't like that, and so I'm going to leave that aside. But our fear for the Lord must exceed our fear of others. He said in verse 24, "I feared the people and obeyed their voice." You see, when we fear the Lord, we'll obey His voice. It doesn't make any difference what anybody else thinks or says about it. We cannot continue following the Lord without fearing the Lord, without serving Him, and without obeying His voice. But one other thing I want to point out from 1 Samuel chapter 12. As our appeal is to continue following the Lord, we must not rebel. Notice in 1 Samuel 12:14, he said, "If you will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord." In verse 15 he said, "If you will not obey the voice of the Lord but rebel." And so I learned that to not obey is to rebel. Somebody said, "I'm not a rebel. I'm not rebellious. If I don't obey, I'm rebellious." In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, you remember Saul who thought he'd obeyed? He just did part of what the Lord said. He hadn't done all of it. He really hadn't obeyed. Verse 23 of 1 Samuel 15 says, "Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." He was accused of being rebellious. He was guilty of rebelling against God. Would you have thought of him as being a rebel? I don't think he saw himself that way. When he went and he destroyed some, he did some of what God said, would you accuse him of being a rebel? God said he's guilty of rebellion. He had rejected the word of the Lord. I don't think we view ourselves that way when we've not done what the Lord says. We don't consider ourselves as being rebellious or guilty of rebellion. If somebody said, "You're a rebel," we would probably take issue with that. But I learned that when I don't obey the Lord, I don't do what He says, I'm a rebel. I'm guilty of rebellion. In the book of Numbers chapter 14 and in verse 9, back when the spies were sent to search the land of Canaan, and 10 came back with a negative report, Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit about them. In Numbers 14, verse 6, after the 10 spies brought their slander and the people began to complain, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." If only we could hear the passionate plea that was made by these men of God. And then all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Can you imagine that? But their plea was, rebel not ye against the Lord. Don't be rebels. Do what the Lord says. But the history of the people of the Lord was a story of rebellion. In fact, time and again, they're depicted by the Lord as being a rebellious people. Back in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, and in verse 24, Aaron was instructed by the Lord to go up into Mount Hor, where he would die. The Lord said, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Ye rebelled. Go back to the time when the people were complaining because they didn't have water to drink, and the Lord told Moses to speak to the rock, but he took his rod and he struck it. And they said, here now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Did you know that in that process he rebelled? And because of the fact that he rebelled against the Lord, he was not allowed entrance into the land promised by the Lord, but died at Mount Hor. I wonder how many may not be allowed entrance into the promised land of the Christian, heaven, but have to be in Mount Hor, die in Mount Hor, because of rebelling against the Lord. In the book of Numbers 27 and verse 14, Moses was told, get up into this Mount Abiram and see the land. And when thou hast seen it, thou also should be gathered unto thy people as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandment. Ye rebelled. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1 and in verse 26, notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents. Murmuring is associated with rebellion. Somebody said if you were complaining that you were rebelling, would you take issue with that? I'm not a rebellious person. I'm not a rebel. The Lord said ye rebelled. Again in chapter 1 verse 43, he said, I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went up presumptuously into the hill. Notice several things associated with rebelling there. He said, I spake unto you, the Lord spoke, and ye would not hear. And so a failure to hear what the Lord says, a failure to heed what he says, is associated with rebellion. If I won't hear the Lord, I won't do what he says, then I'm rebelling against the Lord. He said, went up presumptuously. The Lord said, don't go up. Verse 42. Go not up, neither fight, for I'm not among you. But they went up presumptuously. That is, they acted on their own initiative. God said, don't do it, but they did it anyway. That's rebellion. And throughout the book of God, not only are there things where he says, thou shalt, there are positive commands, there are shalt nots, specific things that are condemned. And when I do what the Lord says not to do, or I fail to do what he says to do, I'm guilty of rebelling against his word. If I'm going to continue following the Lord, I must not rebel. In Deuteronomy chapter 9 and in verse 23, he said, likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I've given you, then ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Ye believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. How'd you like to go down in history as being rebellious from the day that I knew you? What made them that way? They didn't believe, they didn't hearken to his voice. Oh, somebody says, you mean these people are atheists? No, they weren't atheists. They believed there was a God, but they didn't believe him when they didn't obey him. There's a difference in believing in God, believing there is a God, and believing God in doing what he says, hearkening to his voice. When you turn over to the book of Nehemiah, you find the children out of captivity. And Nehemiah in chapter 9 gives a brief history of God's dealings with the people. In Nehemiah 9 and in verse 26, he said, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs. Notice the language used in association with rebelling. To be disobedient to God is to rebel against Him. And what you're doing in essence is you're casting His law behind your back. Would you cast God's law behind your back? Somebody says, I wouldn't do that. Oh no, not me. But when I don't obey the Lord, that's what I'm doing. I'm rebelling against it. It's as if I've cast His law against my back. Psalm 107 and verse 11. The psalmist said, they rebelled against the words of God. In Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah and verse 2 expressed the Lord's word. He said, the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Isaiah 1 and 2. They rebelled against me. Imagine yourself as a parent in that situation. Here you've nourished, you've brought up children, and they've rebelled against you. You know what that feels like if you've had a child that you've nourished and you've brought up and he's rebelled against you. That's how God feels when we don't do what He says. We've rebelled against Him. In Isaiah chapter 30 and in verse 1, it is said, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me. And then in verse 9, He said, go write it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Won't hear. That's rebellion. And Jeremiah talked about those who have a rebellious heart. Jeremiah 5:23. Time and again, rebellion is associated with not obeying the Lord. And so the plea of this old and gray-headed man, if you will, this lifetime servant of the Lord back in the day of Israel, one of Israel's greatest examples, Samuel, is a great plea for us today. Continue following the Lord. There's difficulties to get folks to take up their cross and follow the Lord. And then a difficulty for those who do to continue following the Lord. Don't quit, but continue. And to do that, I must fear the Lord, serve Him, obey His voice, and not rebel. In the book of John, in chapter 8 and in verse 31, this plea to continue is upheld throughout the New Testament. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. John 8:31. In John chapter 15 and in verse 9, the Lord said, continue ye in my love. In Acts 13, during the first preaching trip, I'll read in verse 43 where Paul and Barnabas persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. In chapter 14 and verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Romans in chapter 11, 22, Paul said, continue in God's goodness. Remember our reading, Colossians 1:23. Paul talked about the fact that we are reconciled to God if we continue in the faith. And be not moved away. He said, continue in prayer, Colossians 4 and in verse 2. Writing Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, he said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In 2 Timothy 3, he talked about perilous times shall come. But he said, continue. Don't quit. Don't give up, don't give out, but continue in the things which thou hast learned. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 14. If we're going to be saved in the end, if we're going to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, we must continue following the Lord. There may be those in this audience who have not yet taking up their cross to follow the Lord. You can do that today. We urge you to follow the Lord. There's no greater that you can follow than to follow the Lord. We choose to follow Jesus by coming to Him, believing on Him, repenting of our sins, to confess our faith in Him, and to be buried with Him by baptism. We stand ready to assist you in that. And then to realize that's not just a decision for that day or for that week or for that month or for that year, but to continue following the Lord so as to be faithful unto Him faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. If you've not been what you ought to be, if you've not been faithful to the Lord, you've not been following the Lord, you've not continued to do that, you've not had the fear of the Lord that you need to have, you've not been obeying His voice or serving Him, you've been guilty of rebelling against Him, would you say, I have sinned? Would you admit that? Would you see yourself as this mirror reflects you to be and to make the changes that need to be made? As John said, if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And sometimes we deceive ourselves into thinking that we're following the Lord and we've obeyed His voice. We might be like Saul of old and we'll say, blessed be the Lord, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And sometimes we need somebody to say, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep and this lowing of the oxen? What's this mean? What's this I hear? Those things told on him that he had not obeyed the Lord, that he had rebelled against the Lord. And are there some things that are telling on us that we've not obeyed the Lord, that we've not followed him like we should? And if that be the case, may we make the proper corrections that need to be made to say, I have sinned. And to do as Samuel urged, continue following the Lord. If we can assist you in any way in following the Lord, won't you come now while we stand and sing?